Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Please, 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 please vote for us in the general category at the Podcast Awards. It's going to be open till November 6th, and you can vote every day. So please vote every day. And if you guys want to get a hold of us, you can check our website at www.granatseed.com/futilepodcast. Send us an email at futilepodcast@gmail.com.
We should watch License to Drive just so I can see that chick.
Oh, yeah.
From Wild Orchid 2 with Tom Skerritt.
That's all I have. You sure you're not thinking of Poison Ivy 2 with Tom Skerritt?
No, I'm pretty sure Poison Ivy, wasn't that
Alyssa Milano?
Well, wasn't it like Drew Barrymore, Alyssa Milano, and then it became like the last one was, Jamie Presley?
Possibly. I don't know. I'm not into movies that glorify pedophilia like that.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm happy for you, man.
Thanks. Well, we should watch Wild Orchid 2 if we're going to watch. If we're going to watch License to Drive. No?
You. Jesus Christ. Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, so Tom Skerritt's not in this movie having sex with underage girls. It's instead...
Tom Skerritt played the dad dies, which is why she ends up being forced into prostitution.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. And Robert Davi plays the drug dealer guy,
yes.
Drug dealer. An FBI guy.
An FBI. Well, only in Profiler. Or in Die Hard. He was Mr. Johnson.
He was part of Johnson.
No relation.
Shit. House will rock. Blind boys don't lie. Immortal fear. That voice so clear.
What are we talking about tonight, Mark?
Talking about the Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, Halloween surprise, Lost Boys.
Joel Schumacher.
1987, Joel Kiefer Schumacher. Richard Donner, producer. He was originally going to direct it, but I guess the production took too much time to get going, so he decided to go off and do Lethal Weapon, which also was in 87.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I didn't know he intended on directing it.
No. Like I said, it kind of almost has his sensibility to it a little.
Superman, they're flying.
Yeah, definitely. There's a commonality there. Story of Lost Boys is sort of an allegory that seems apt to the 80s, or the late 80s especially, with the drug culture and the idea of children not having both parents. You know, the emergence of the large number of divorcees and whatnot, and single parents.
Home.
The broken home. And
Just Say No.
Broken home and Just Say No, you know, because... Things get strange and things get tripped out when...
Nancy Reagan's in the hospital, isn't she?
I don't know.
I believe so.
It's possible.
It's highly likely.
Yeah. But basically, the start of the movie, you see that these... you get the sense that there's this beachside sort of resort. It's Santa Cruz Boardwalk. They call it Santa Clara or something like that.
Santa Clara's real, too. Santa Carla,
that's right. I'm sure there's probably a Santa Carla somewhere, but it's all real. Anyway,
I've never heard of one.
It's like Murder Capital of the World, some kind of really skeezy. It's almost to be honest, the reason it's called The Lost Boys, I mean, The Lost Boys was the Peter Pan reference.
Kind of like The Outsiders, like except for without the S.E. Hinton and yeah. Texas and
without Pony
Oklahoma
Boy
and all that shit.
And kind of like Pinocchio.
No Ralph Macchio.
With the sort of fun and games all the time. What was it in Pinocchio where they went to the place where they all turned into donkeys?
Oh, where they're trying to, yeah.
I don't remember what the place was called.
It was moralistic. It was something like, it wasn't like Sin Land, but it was something kind of
bad,
like
Bad Boys Planet or something.
Yeah, something.
Where Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2 were just constantly
Wasn't it like Pleasure Island or something?
No.
That might be, no, probably not.
There'd be Jennifer Connelly going ass to ass with somebody
else if
it was Pleasure Planet.
Hey, at least they used lots of lube.
Indeed. Keith David made sure of that.
Well, he's a gentleman.
I know, he didn't want him fucking up his table.
Oh, God.
Diane Weiss plays this single mother who's just gotten over a divorce from some dude you don't really know. They're moving out from Phoenix to come live in Santa Carla with her grandfather, with her dad, because they don't really have a lot of money. So she's a single mom with her older teenage son and her young kind of mama's boy kid. We were trying to figure out how old Corey Haim's supposed to be in this. At one point, he's having a bubble bath and he's scared of the closet monster.
Well, I mean, he's roughly the same age as the Frog Brothers, not to
That's
introduce
true.
Them
yeah.
undramatically. And, I mean, that's...
He's a tweener.
14. I'm thinking 14.
Something like that.
Because they're not driving...
But he's a real mama's boy, so you get that sense of he's afraid of the closet monster, which is a great movie. We got to find one of these days. Maybe for next Halloween, we'll do Closet Monster. Anywho, so that's Jason Patrick plays the older guy, and it's still summer vacation. School hasn't started yet. So
I was trying to figure that out. He was an old high school student.
Well, but that was back like
they all were.
This was pre 90210 and everything else. When like they've always had people that are not high school age playing high school students.
How
Sometimes
hard is
it's
it
pretty
to find
severe.
A fucking 18-year-old?
I don't know, but you got to find just the right age, because if they're 17, then they aren't going to... You know, then union rules and everything else, it's tougher to shoot with them all the time and stuff. At least it can be.
It should be easier.
No.
Children don't have any rights.
Okay. Anywho, so... They basically, Michael ends up chasing, sees this girl when he's at the awesome saxophone concert with that kick-ass guy that's wearing no shirt. It's playing the saxophone song. It's awesome.
Oh, right.
and so he chases Jamie Gertz down and runs into this gang of hooligans who you've seen earlier from sort of the beginning. You saw that they had a little...
Poor, very poor...
Security guy.
Yeah, the very poor, unsung security guard who ends up biting it.
Yep.
Because he was doing his job.
All he did was a job to keep you guys off the boardwalk.
Yeah.
So they're like the ruffians. They're the lost boys, if you will, of this town.
Yeah,
we'll never grow old, Michael. You'll never grow old. It's totally a Peter Pan
you'll
thing.
You'll never die.
You'll never die.
Peter Pan.
Yeah, lost boys is the term for in Peter
Pan. Oh, shit. That's right.
That's right.
And...
So it's that, and it's Pinocchio, too, a little bit, with the place where, you know, because of all the shiny colors.
I can picture it, but I mean...
And there's all these children running around they're just neglected, because it's making commentary on that. And the guy does at the end. Max makes a commentary on that, the broken home, and, you know, I want keep my family together, you know. Boys need discipline. They need a mother. And they need a mother, so they need both, like, you know. And
that helps.
It's definitely making a push for that, which is odd, but not really.
It's odd for Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, I suppose. So Jason Patrick gets into it with Kiefer and his boys, with David and Barry Pepper, Ted Theodore Logan. Bill S. Preston Esquire.
I'm pretty sure it's not Barry Pepper.
I think that's that guy's name, right?
No.
Okay, then I'm wrong. What's Ted Theodore Bill S. Preston Esquire's?
I can't. You'd have to
real
look
name.
Him.
We'll look at the box. We'll get back to you on that.
Barry Pepper is the guy. The kind of his claim to fame was He was the sniper in Saving Private Ryan.
Oh.
He's the tall.
He kind of looks like him, though.
They do look a little similar.
Okay, then. Okay, I give you that. I thought maybe it was the same guy, but I guess I'm wrong. Okay. So, Michael kind of falls in with these guys because he's trying to get...
Wrong crowd.
Trying to get in, get that POA. And as you know, you always have to defeat the jerk motorcycle gang leader in order to get his girl.
POA.
Piece of ass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's going back to their hideout, and they kind of take him in as one of their own after they've kind of hazed him a little. And he drinks some wine, thinking that they're goofing on him, because they've been goofing on him with the Chinese food, telling him it's maggots and stuff.
And worms.
So he's kind of sick of their shit, and he's sort of trying to posture for this chick. So the internal logic of his behavior is
even
pretty...
though she tells him not to.
Yeah, but she tells him, don't, it's blood, you know? And it's like, after everyone's told him, how you like the maggots, after they've all been fucking with him, and as far as he's concerned, fuck her, you know?
Oh, because of the dope.
Yeah.
Because the dope smoking.
So he did have an appetizer.
He had a little reefer
madness. They didn't show him smoke it, though. But
they probably couldn't.
Take it. Yeah, they probably couldn't at the time. But, yeah. Well, I mean, that it's a commentary on that, like we said before. It's a commentary on drug use. There's a lot of the, you know, they use a lot of dissolves to kind of make things very
ethereal.
Blood
is sort of like the drug. There's the heartbeat. And
I just mean he's tripping, where
he's like high and he's floating around.
He's high and floating around.
I mean, shit, it could have been an after school special.
It pretty much is an after school special with very conservative morals
cool.
About like you keeping your family together and paying attention.
And
boys
fuck
need discipline.
With the Oreo cookies and the root beer.
No,
I mean, there's just so many life lessons there. If you take the car out without asking, make sure you fill it up with gas.
That's the rule.
Yep.
Grandpa was great. So Michael ends up figuring out, hey, wait, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. I'm some kind of a, like, I'm some sort of daywalker. I'm a half vampire. And this is creepy. And Jamie Gertz kind of tells him a little about it. Meanwhile, his brother, played by Corey Haim, is like, hey, you know, he gets suspicious of it because he's reading these horror comics that he found at the comic shop from these two kids that run the comic shop that are really kind of creepy and weird, the Frog Brothers.
Back then, mm-hmm. Who would have ever guessed that Corey Haim would have become the more fucked up of the two?
Back then?
Yeah, back in 87, 88.
That's a good point, I guess.
Because he always was the more clean cut.
Yeah. When did License to Drive come out?
Maybe a year later.
Only a year later?
It was right around that same time.
It's gotta be. I would venture...
Because there was Dream Machine, too. And then... They did, like, what, five?
They did quite a few. The Coreys. Everyone knows about it. And so, it basically comes down to, we gotta kill the head vampire to save my brother and everything. So they try to kill, anywho. So they go looking for the head vampire. First they think it's this guy named Max, who is making a move on Diane Weiss, their mom. And turns out that he's, you know, he can eat vampire. He eats the garlic, and they pull tricks on him at a kind of a comedic little dinner scene.
Yeah, the Frog Brothers just pull out all the stuff.
All the stuff. Nothing works on him. They spill holy water on his crotch, trying to neuter him, and it's like, no, it's cold. Ah, it doesn't burn. What are you talking about? So everything's cool, and he goes off, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to go be Herman Munster in the remake of the Munsters TV show.
Well, I was going to say his name's Herman, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
But, so then after that...
What the hell happened to the box?
They think that, his name wouldn't be on the box.
Yeah, it would.
How many people's names are they going to put on the box?
Enough.
Not his. They're going to have Diane Weiss, they're going to have Jason Patrick, they're going to have Kiefer Sutherland, Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, and that is like...
Edward Herman.
Aw, man. Edward Herman Munster. Everyone knows he played, you know, don't get the remake of the Munsters confused with Maniac Mansion, that's all I ask.
I had no idea either one of them.
Okay.
Who played the hot blonde chick, though?
In the Munsters remake?
Yeah.
I think it was the same chick from Wild Orchid 1.
Drew Barrymore?
No, that was in Poison Ivy 1, Mark.
Oh, Wild Orchid. The only reason I ever saw Wild Orchid 2 was because it was on, like, Cinemax. when I was a kid.
Well, we got to check it out then.
Like at 2 a.m.
I totally want to. I want to see it if it's got the chick from License to Drive. That's all.
Well,
I'm saying.
Yeah, it did. The chick that played the sister. But Edward Herrmann. Well, you know, he did all those Dodge commercials for a long time. He played Nelson Rockefeller and Nixon. He's done some stuff. I mean, this wasn't the only thing he's done.
No. Definitely. Like I said, he played Herman Munster in the remake of the Munsters.
Who played Grandpa?
I don't remember. It might have been the same guy. Like, that's all he ever could do was do that. And then, like, host, like, monster movie Saturday afternoons of, like, Godzilla versus, you know, King Ghidorah.
It was.
Anywho, so they eventually think, okay, Max isn't the main guy, so let's go try to take out these vampires. They know the hideout because Michael's been there. It's this old resort that got sucked into the ground during the 1906 earthquake. And so they go in there looking for him, looking for their coffins, and they realize that they're in this cave.
I'm just kind of curious, who hasn't seen The Lost Boys?
I don't know. I'm just doing
I dated this chick, and it blew me away because she was totally retro 80s and all this kind of shit.
Sometimes people miss things.
And she had never seen The Lost Boys. It just blew me away.
So did you watch it with her?
Yeah, I did.
Did she enjoy?
Yes, she did.
Was it good times?
It was good times.
Did you get like a hand job from it? Or
I don't tell on gentlemen.
Okay.
But,
So anyway. Yeah, okay, great. So, final thought.
It was.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
Punch on the arm.
Oh, you bet.
Shot to the arm. So they go there, they try to stab one, but like idiots, they stab one thinking that they're not going to yell and scream and wake the rest of them up, and boom. So Barry Pepper, who's not Barry Pepper.
It would have been a lot more sense to stab them all at once, but again, we wouldn't have a movie.
No, then you wouldn't. The Frog Brothers are kind of new to this. This is their first time
they
really going
at it. They
would
have been really confused because nothing would have, you know, wouldn't solve the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So they kill one of them, and Kiefer's like, "You're dead meat!" And they...
After his hand caught on fire.
They chase after him. Yeah. His hand gets caught on fire because he reaches into the light to try and get him. And then they have to basically just do 80s montage of them getting holy water and, like, carving stakes and getting the whole house all retrofitted down.
You know what was the most awesome of the montages? Was the Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that.
That, it totally reminds
me
of that.
The best 80s, like, with your buddies building stuff to take down monsters is for Monster Squad, where they're making the photocopies of the business cards.
Silver to...
Yeah, they smelt silver bullets.
They were making some badass steaks.
Oh, yeah, and they made awesome steaks with, like, a lathe. Remember the guy had access to wood shop and metal shop?
Right.
The bad boy that could,
and he just happened to have a bullet mold. I never quite got how he actually, because I'm just kind of stupid like that, I would actually think, you know, where did he get the press and the dyes and the gunpowder and all that to actually make a fucking bullet? Not to mention, make it for the right caliber that he just might happen to stumble along.
But
we digress.
That guy knows what he's doing when it comes to firearms. He's a badass.
Kind of, he was a badass because he could light it. He could light his match on his shoe. And he could make...
He taught Horace, the fat kid,
to respect himself
with the pump shotgun.
Yep. Well, you know, pump shotgun tends to get some respect.
Of course it does. And he helped...
And if it's out of bullets, you know, beat people to death
for
with the
sure.
butt.
It's great. It becomes a melee weapon at that point.
Pretty much.
Good times. Yes, Monster Squad definitely.
And you
can
smoke
this.
Out of them too,
for sure. Yep. Smoke the doobage.
You can smoke the doobage.
Monster Squad definitely trumps this in terms of the montage. I'll give it that. It's a different kind of movie though. It's more. I guess the original script for this was written
it
to
was
be
written
very goofy
for a younger audience.
Yeah. It was supposed to be like baby
but
vampires.
But then it has. But yeah. And I think we've talked about this before because
they darkened it up and fixed it and made it, brought in this whole drug punker counterculture collapse of the modern family.
Now let's get back to the Monster Squad again, then we'll get back. But the one thing, and we'll have to. I need to buy that. I keep thinking about.
I thought you did have it.
No, I don't. But no. I should. I had that on VHS too, and I think my mom recorded over half of it or something. It was depressing. I was just trying to make the point of the really weird. You had this children's movie, but somebody, you know, it's kind of like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where they just stick something in that no kid's going to understand. But in the Monster Squad, the Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
It's like...
No, you know about monsters, don't you?
Yeah, no... No fucking 8-10-year-old kid's likely to know about the serial numbers and all that kind of shit.
He knows about monsters.
He knows
knows about all kinds of monsters.
Well, we hung most of them.
The thing is, what we should do, if we're going to do Monster Squad, is we should watch Schindler's List first and then watch Monster Squad. Because they really are kind of... they're not. It's not like it's a sequel, but it's definitely like a companion piece to it.
Well, you know, there was the B-25 in the beginning.
Yes.
And, of course, the vampires, like, you know, Austro-Hungarian, for German, sure. Basically.
Yeah. Can't trust them guys, those Austrian Germans.
He's a kraut, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
So, Frog Brothers, and they've got Laddie, who's a little kid, who's also a daywalker, and they got Jamie Gertz, Star, who's also a daywalker,
who
and
was Michael. The first Jersey girl, I'd like to point out.
Okay. And they zoom them all off to... you know, go get their stuff put together and await the vampires who are going to assault them. Vampires show up, and it's all pretty quick, pretty cut and dry. I mean, there's a little bit of scariness to it, but there's a little bit of activity and some fighting. Michael basically takes them all out. And then Max shows up with Lucy because they were on a date. Well, Michael takes one of them out.
He takes one of them out. The dog took the other one.
And Nanook helps take the one. And Corey, yeah, with a bow and arrow. He's an archery master.
And Jamie Gertz really didn't do shit.
No, she was protecting Laddie from the Frog Brothers, who were just going crazy. They wanted to kill everything that was even slightly vampiric.
Yeah, they were pretty deadly.
Yeah, they were a little extremist about it. So Max is like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? So Max is like, I wanted you, Lucy,
I realize we digressed a lot, but we kind of sped ahead.
No, we didn't. We covered everything. It's a quick movie, really. It's a good
clip. It's like an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, but it moves along pretty quickly.
It does move along.
I mean, you know, we covered pretty much every scene. We didn't
talk about the Widow Johnson.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the Widow Johnson.
And we didn't talk about... You talked about the TV guy, didn't you?
No, we didn't. We'll get back to that, I think, when we talk about the grandpa. I think we'll just talk about the grandpa, because the ending is totally the grandpa running the show. The grandpa comes in, and kills Max, because Max is the final vampire. He is the main one.
Which, I was going to say, there must not be that many.
Yeah, they're not all in the city council and stuff.
Well, those were werewolves and ghouls, right?
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I know there's a comic, and then there's, of course... Lost Boys 2, The Tribe.
The Tribe.
Which, gets more in depth than this. It doesn't, it's a little darker, a little more serious. That's why it went straight to DVD, of course.
I heard it had gratuitous sex and violence.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be unusual for a movie that comes out these days. They really kind of try to shy away from... R ratings.
You know, in a lot of ways, that's true. Not generally direct to DVD, but there. Well, you know, even that little bit we were reading.
Like, this movie's rated R, right?
Do you think?
Check it. You got the box right there.
We know it's rated R.
Well, there we go. No tits in this movie.
Just like Which in Predator. Which is odd for Joel Schumacher as well.
Yeah, Joel Schumacher's a huge womanizer. We all know that. But
no, he was just big on... Name another one of his movies.
Flatliners?
Tits.
Are they corpse tits?
Corpse tits?
No. Yeah, are they because they're medical students and there's a bunch of...
No, you never
corpses?
See any naked...
You see Julia Roberts' tits in that movie?
No, you don't.
Whose tits are you seeing in that movie?
There's that whole, again, with the montage, Billy Baldwin, you know, how his thing, and it was all erotic, and there were boobs all over the place.
His thing.
And, like, yonic symbols.
I get you. Yonic, with the yonic symbols there.
Yep.
And blooming forth and unleashing...
And Oliver Platt doesn't get shit.
Pungency.
No, I think that's the most important movie about that. Is Kevin Bacon's the hero, and Oliver Platt doesn't get shit.
That's true.
And, of course, Kevin Bacon gets the woman.
Of course.
Of course. And...
And that's the way that goes. Also had Kiefer in it.
Yes, it did.
So basically, yeah, it's just, it turns out the grandpa knew the whole time there was vampires running around, but he just didn't care because he was a character. He's the kind of character you said you want to be when you get old.
No, I'm saying that is going to be me when I get old.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that old bachelor guy out, you know, putting up more fence posts.
Scamming on old ladies.
Scamming on old widow ladies.
Taxidermy's going to be a big thing for you.
Well, he must be a widower too, right?
Yeah, they said that.
Right.
Since mom died 8 years ago.
Right.
So you're
because
not
that's
be
last time he had company.
You're not going to be a bachelor. You're going to have to get married so that your wife can be dead for 8 years.
That's horrible. He was holding up all right, though. I mean, he had his double-stuffed Oreos, which I like. He had his root beers in a bottle.
Did TV Guide have pictures in it?
Which I also like. What?
TV Guide have pictures in it? Because I'm thinking, like, back in 1987, yeah. Maybe he was, like, you know...
They had pictures.
Like, you know, keeping himself going by...
Like a skin mag?
Like a skin mag version of TV Guide.
I think Grandpa could probably come up with something better.
Well, he had the Widow Johnson, that's true.
He had the Widow... He damn right.
For his...
With
for
the Windex?
Yeah.
And the weed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was growing the weed. They showed
well,
that.
Well, it just... And that's kind of funny. I remember people telling me about... The shit used to just grow in people's yards around here. I mean, it was just... It was wild.
Yep, wild weed. Like a wild orchid, maybe.
Well, I think it's native. I don't think it was something...
No.
I think it's native.
It's supposed to grow around here. Sometimes
indeed.
It does. Then the cops come knocking on your door. And they say, hey, can we get in on that?
Oh.
Oh. No, that doesn't happen. Anyway, what I remember about this movie is being a kid when I first saw it, because we had this awesome Catholic school girl babysitter back when we used to live in town.
You gotta be shitting me.
No, she was cool.
Did she wear, like, plaid skirts?
Sometimes when she would be coming right back
pigtails?
From...
pigtails?
Right
was
back
she
from,
a cheerleader
no, she didn't have the pigtails, but sometimes when she'd be coming
least
right back...
a ponytail? Something you could grab onto.
I don't
that's
really
all
think
we
so.
Need.
But sometimes when she'd be coming back from, like, school and, like, didn't have time to change or something, so yeah. We, you know, get the outfit.
She'd be in, like, the body stocking. She was, like, a gymnast.
No, no, that doesn't make sense. But no, she was all into, like, comic books and stuff. Like, I remember she had the old, like, hardcore Ninja Turtles, the Eastman and Laird ones. I remember that. And she had, like, the Batman comics, like, Many Deaths of Batman. I remember her showing us those. And she was into, like cool movies and MTV and stuff. So basically, that's how Seth and I, like learned a lot of that stuff. Is, like, we'd watch MTV with her and, like, make fun of all the stupid hair metal bands. And we'd, she'd show us movies like, what's that one with Michael J. Fox, where the him and Kiefer are cokeheads? Big City Nights or something like that?
Bright Lights, Big City.
I remember she asked our parents, she's like...
That James Spader in it, too.
Maybe. She's like, you know, she's like, this movie kind of has some drugs and stuff in it, but it's not, like, bad. And my mom's like, yeah, they know that stuff's bad. And so, like, cool. So she was like, she got the okay. We watched
you
that movie.
You and Seth didn't become cokeheads.
No, we didn't become cokeheads from watching
James
that.
James Spader.
I did
like
have a different
every fucking movie.
I did
age.
Have a different impression of Michael J. Fox after that movie, though.
Yeah, it's true. After, like, you know, Back to the Future,
and she showed us Lost Boys, which I remember being, because I was kind of a little kid, scaredy little kid when I was a little kid. I didn't really like horror movies that much because they almost all universally scared me. And this movie had some scary parts if you're like a little kid. But,
yeah, it does.
But it's funny
because
enough.
Because there's some graphic violence.
And there's enough action and activity to it. And it's more of a creepy vibe to it. But that I really ended up enjoying it. Like, I'm just
give
it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, just a solid 3 out of 5.
I think that's the only time we ever agreed.
Well, we usually are pretty close. Anyway, Lost Boys, good times. Good check it out.
Good times.
I had fun. Happy Halloween, everybody. Out. Won't give in. This is our crime. This is our sin. But I still believe. Still believe. Through the pain. Through the grief. Through the lie. Through the storms. Through the cries. Through the wars. Oh, happy Halloween! That wasn't scary at all, was it?
Hey, can't we do, like, you know, scary names like they do for The Simpsons?
Oh, yeah. This is, this is Ian Igor.
I'm getting nothing. Yeah, you could do the...
You're Mark the Monster.
Mark the Monster.
Mark the Mummy.
Mark the Mummy. Maniac Mark.
Maniac Mark.
Mark the Mangler.
The Mangler.